Hello, everybody. It is Eddie. Glad you're with us today. We got Mr. Mike Bordwine. He's going to start us off with some details about a question that came about Cook County, Illinois. Bob and Charles are at the Mortgage Bankers Association Conference in Orlando. I've been telling them that I was going to now that all those operations guys have left, I'm going to go change everything, you know, redo everybody's office, workflow, you know, right, Mike? Now that we got those guys out of the way, your guys are gone too. We can straighten up our offices, can't we?
We can, can't we?
Boy, they're going to be proud of me by the time they get back.
Time to do some house cleaning. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they're always worried that I'm going to get in the middle of operations, which, you know, it's what I brought those guys in to go do. But I'm going to just clean some things up. There are just a few things I feel like they probably need some help with, so I just got to do it.
This call is being recorded, Mr. Steve.
What's up, Mangan?
Good afternoon, Mr. Speed. How are you? How is everybody today?
Everybody's
checking
good.
In. Make sure you're holding the fort down.
Hey, Charles. This is Mike. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
Good. Thank you, man.
Thanks for being on the call today.
Sure.
All right. Well, we'll do some announcements a little later towards the end. Charles, I know you may have to click out, but appreciate your clicking in. Mr. Mike, we appreciate having you here, sir.
Sure. Glad to be here.
Mr. Matt on the boards.
How you doing?
Oh, it's all good. It's all good.
Well, just so in case you're worried about it, I can't edit this so that anything you say can be
I'm darn certain there's a lot of things that I've said that have been edited because I don't remember saying them down the road. It's got to be some kind of creative editing is all I can figure. All right, so let's see if we can click Mahmood in here. So, Mike, I don't know that, I think everybody knows who you are, but let me officially introduce you. Mike Bordwine is with National Asset Advisors. They're the company in Columbia, South Carolina that we've talked about a lot. And basically, Mike, you guys can take essentially the keys to a property and at whatever level of progression from managing the property preservation to reselling the property and servicing the loan. And so,
right, and then carrying it through default services back to an REO status again.
So. Right. So you can do anything from the foreclosure process to managing the REO, code enforcement, all of the little quirky stuff, and you guys have specialized, as we have, in the low price band space.
That's correct.
So there are a few counties that are particularly quirky, and you know our friend Mahmood, so
yes.
He knows when to ask a good question, right?
Yes.
And so Mahmood recognized Cook County, Illinois, and it's I don't know if it's famous or infamous for this. How about that, Mike?
It's probably infamous. That's correct.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. So, we got Mahmood here with us, Matt.
Yes. Hi, Eddie. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Mahmood.
Been great. Thanks.
Okay. So, we have had some students that have bought assets from us and bought assets otherwise, and there are a few counties that just kind of stick out. You can make money there, but you got to understand you deal with it a little bit differently. And Mama, we appreciate that you kind of realize that. So tell us the story, and then we'll let Mike kind of expound on it.
Yes, we bought the asset about 11 months ago, and it finally went to foreclosure this morning. We actually took it back as an REO. I don't know whether that's good or not, but I think there's still potential even though that we have taken it back. We had the borrower call us yesterday. He called the attorney and then the attorney gave him my number to to stall the foreclosure. And I said, well, you had the almost 3 years to do that. Anyhow, we took it back, and we know that there are tenants living in the property. I don't know for sure whether they're tenants or the family of the owner. There is still a confirmation hearing to take place before the sale is affirmed. For that, I have to send them a report of an inspection that we had done, and fortunately I had one occupancy report done only 6 days ago, so they were happy with that. They're going to be able to schedule a confirmation hearing. So now we want to sell the property as a loaded rental, since there are already occupants in there. We need to first verify whether they have legitimate leases in place. If not, what are our options? Where do we go from here? What do we do next?
Let me ask you a question, Mahmoud. You said you purchased this 11 months ago. Has it already been transferred into your name?
Yeah, he bought it as an MPL now, Mike.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes.
Cook County is one of those difficult counties to deal with, and Maywood's part of that Cook County. And you don't always get the full information from the city as to what's required. And we've basically been burned a few times with Cook County. What we have done, and I'll throw this out, what we have done based on our experience is that when we get something in Cook County, we go to an attorney. There's one that we have a relationship with over a number of years that has done a lot for us in Cook County. The reason we do that is that he knows everything, the workings in and out of the city and what has to take place. There has to be a water certificate. There has to be all your taxes have to be up to date. Then there's a point of sale inspections that have to take place. And then if there is any violations, there are escrow that has to be put up. And a lot of times we can bypass and mitigate a lot of this on the front end by having someone, an agent, like the attorney we use on the front end, that will go in and can get a lot of this accomplished in a streamlined manner because he knows the system and they know him and he works through it. We have the same thing in Cuyahoga County near Cleveland, outside Cleveland in Detroit. So we do that process just to help us get through all of this because it's very hard from a distance to negotiate and deal with these people. There is a vacant building registration. If you've got a building that is there that is not occupied, you've got to register with them every 6 months, and it's a $250 fee as long as all the violations have been taken care of. If you go out and you register that and the violations have not been taken care of, it goes to $500. And then if they go check again, it goes to $750. So it's just a lot of stuff like that that you have to deal with. From your standpoint, from a occupied, you'll have to register it as a rental unit, which I guess, have you already done that, Mahmoud?
No, we just took it back today. We became owners today, so this, I believe, should be the next step.
Okay, yes, and they'll want to do the point-of-sale inspections and come up with the list of either, if there are no violations, you'll get a certificate of compliance, and whether it's sale or rental, they require that. And so
you'll have to make arrangements, Mike, excuse me.
Yes.
So he needs to make arrangements with the tenant so they can get in there because they will have to get inside the property.
That's correct.
To that inspection.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And they'll have to be allowed access in to do their inspection.
And they probably taxes are paid right to Mike before you can file the deed.
Say that again, Eddie. I'm sorry.
They'll probably require that the taxes are paid current.
That's correct. No delinquent taxes. They have to be paid up. The utilities, the water in particular, has to be paid up to get your water certificate. So those are the things that they're going to ask you to do. And then the big thing is the point of sale inspection and what they come up with. Then as the owner, you can file for a conditional certificate of compliance, and that will allow you to go in and make any repairs, update it to what will pass and get your certificate of compliance.
Sorry, can you run that by once more?
As the owner, when you secure the property, if you will contact them and ask, you want your point of sale, we want to schedule a point of sale inspection.
A contact then, the city?
Yes, you'll contact the village of Maywood, and they will get that set up for you. They'll tell you what you need to do. I believe it normally runs around $150. Because this is a multifamily, they're probably going to add $25 per the other two units. So you're probably looking at a $200 payment for the inspection. And then once they have inspected, then they'll tell you if there are violations or no violations. And if there are, then you can ask them, you can either go in and make all the corrections and then get a re-inspection, which is covered by that initial fee that you pay. And if then it can be, if everything's up to code, then up to snuff for them, then you can get your certificate of compliance, and you're good to go at that point. If there are violations and you want to move forward and try to get a conditional certificate of compliance so you can get in there and fix these things but still be the renting and so forth, that's one of the things you can apply for, is a conditional certificate of compliance, which is probably the route that you will go.
All right, so Mama, let me fast forward you here, okay? There are a few counties in the United States that you can try to do this on your own, but you're hearing Mike say they would not.
Right.
Okay. And I'm pretty sure we all know the same attorney, Eric Fellman.
Yes, that's him.
And you can work through NAA, and they know him super well. We have given some cases over to them, Mahmood, to handle for us, that NAA has done in that regard. And, I mean, we know Eric, and it's fine, but, I'm not saying he doesn't have good service. I'm just saying he deals with these guys all the time, so it's a little more in a pattern. But Charles and I will absolutely tell you that you're going to be 50 times better off to let him do all that for you than you go try to figure out what the compliance is with Cook County.
Yes.
Because he knows the inspectors, and he knows
how the system works.
He knows how the system works.
Yes. And he is very busy, but we get good response from him, Mahmood, because we do a good bit of business with him and have been for a long time. So that is something, a service that we can provide for you also.
Okay. So, and Charles and I have been down the road with this, and there, like I said, there's a few counties. Here's the good news, Mahmood. You wonder why everything is such a good deal. I mean, you're buying an asset with $1,400 in rent. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How much do you have invested in this note?
102.
You have 102,000?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you think the rent is on all three?
Total, 3,100.
Okay. 3,100 bucks, yeah.
Yeah, about 1,000 each average.
Okay, so and this is in a good area, isn't it? I mean, it's not a high crime. Yeah. So people say, why can you buy such good deals there? Because they're a pain in the butt. See what I'm saying? I mean, they have driven down real estate values in their market by being so tough on all this stuff. So that's the answer. It's a heck of a good deal. It's worth a lot of money as a turnkey property. But you got some pain to deal with. Here's the thing, Mahmood. You're going to have a transition in getting this with a property manager. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think that all of us, whether it's NAA or Bob or Eddie or Charles, we're going to recommend that you use National Property Solutions. It's the same company that owns NDS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are working on a super duper turnkey deal with them on the 50-50 model. Okay. We've mm-hmm. been in lots of meetings with them, lots of interactions. They've taken over all the, you know, in like 2011, they took over all the rentals for Fannie Mae's, like 17,000 units in one day.
Hmm.
So they have a good system. The issue is, Mahmood, you don't know how well the tenants that are currently in there have been vetted.
Right.
You're inheriting somebody else's underwriting. Oh, the guy that got foreclosed on.
Right.
So the first thing is that you need to do is you need to work two angles at the same time. You need to work the city or the county in getting your deed filed, and you need to work getting this property transitioned to a property management company.
Right.
Charles and Bob, Charles and Mike, you agree with that?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, ultimately, Mahmood, you got a winner. But, you know, like I said, it's more aggravation, and you know that, and that's why, as I said, that's part of why it's a bargain.
Right. I'm happy with the attorney. They've done a good job so far. I'll let them take it all the way to getting me the deed. And then certainly in parallel, I'll continue working with National Property Solutions.
Okay.
Good. Good.
Mahmood,
yes. Please don't hesitate to call if we can assist you any way through this. If you have questions, you know, we have a number of people that have had experience there. So if you come up to some roadblock and you need some questions, then let us you know, just give us a call and we can help.
Sure. As far as checking on the occupants, do they need to be sent any notice to say if they are paying rents, their rents should be going to a different party, and we need to see a copy of their lease or anything of that nature?
Well, that's why I'd let the property management company just do it from the get-go.
Okay.
Wouldn't you, Mike?
Yes, I would. They can make that contact and go through those steps for you.
Legally what they can do, and you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's just some things there that you're dealing with a big outfit, it's highly vetted, and they're just going to know things that you may do something wrong and you wouldn't have meant to.
Okay. So, Mike, do I contact going?
You can, yes. We can talk offline here later today or tomorrow and to get this going if you want to.
Yes.
Okay.
Please. Thank you.
Okay. All right. We'll do that.
Appreciate it.
Mike, we appreciate your calling in. I know
sure.
A lot of people don't realize that we actually have a weekly meeting with you guys and work through work through the flow, and you guys are working super hard and streamlining it more and more, and obviously you're doing that for the purpose of being able to have scalability and add a lot more customers to your business. And I reached out to Mike last evening about this, and he quickly said, yes sir, I'll be available. So any of you that have this type of stuff, like the uniqueness of code enforcement or whatever, if you guys will do a good job of sending it in ahead of time, I think Mike will do his best, or Chris or one of those guys will do their best to try to be on this call.
We will.
So you guys know that's available. They're not necessarily saying you got to do business with them. They just want to help you know what to go do.
That's correct. We appreciate it, Eddie.
All right. You have a good
day. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Bye.
All right, Mr. Matt, what's up?
Well, we had a hand raised, somebody wanted to talk to Mike, so I didn't know.
Well, hell, let me answer for him. I'll handle everything.
That was Tim.
Let's see.
Tim, go ahead. See if we might connect.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was my fault. What? Let me see if I can take a swing. If Charles is still on, he probably knows.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. Upon your recommendation and praise of them, I let them start working on my asset in Detroit. One of the question I have is, does their system work well for something in an IRA? And the reason I ask that is, when they come up with an expense, they call me. I have to call IRA Innovations and send them a request, and then it gets sent. So it's kind of a herky jerky in that manner. Is there any way around that?
Well, one of the things that you could do is have them invoice you more money than you're going to spend at the moment, just so that instead of wiring $500 at a time, they could say, send me $2,500. Then whatever money they don't spend, they could send back to your IRA account.
Yeah. All right.
And all of the vendors are going to have the same issue. This isn't NAA versus anybody else. It's, the reason I'm pretty sure I know they can do that is because that's what they do with us, isn't it, Charles? You know, they get us to, we send some money over there, and they just kind of draw out of it until they use what they need. Maybe I lost. I'm pretty sure that's what we do.
One of the questions I had for them, and they didn't have a real good answer, was, I've got these squatters in there, and it's colder than what up there. And if they've given them a notice and they leave, I'm in trouble because all the pipes are frozen. And nobody had a real good answer on how to handle that type of situation.
That's why they won't listen to my recommendations. You get Mangan, he won't listen to my recommendations. They won't listen to my recommendations because they want to follow the law. I'd come up with some very creative solutions.
I think I've heard those before.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
You have friends at the police department, right? You like those guys.
I like off-duty police officers.
Yes, sir.
And there ain't nobody ever told me we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got squatters, might as well just have the old cop move in and live with them. I mean, they're all a big family up there. What's wrong with that?
Well, aside from $200 a month in taxes, I'd almost let them ride until spring, unless I can find that off-duty police officer. How would I find one of those?
I don't know. I mean, we found them in the past, but I can't tell you I personally did it. We had employees do it. Call the precinct and say, is there any kind of list of off-duty police officers that could do some security work for me?
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
I mean, the cop is not going to break the law. He don't want to lose. He don't want to lose his day job, right? He's not going there and do something reckless or criminal. You know, it's just sometimes vagrants don't like badges.
I can imagine. Thanks, Eddie.
All right. Matt, was I clear enough that that's not advice?
I don't even know what you're talking about because I'm gonna delete all that. So.
No, I'm saying that. Megan and I have discussed it offline. I mean, you know, he worked for a property preservation company that worked for Fannie Mae and Bank America and stuff. And I'm like, well, is it illegal to hire an off-duty police officer and do security on your house? Is that illegal? If it is, I hadn't heard that.
And to be clear, you're not telling them to coerce anyone just to look at the house, right?
I think everybody knows that I've done enough disclaimers that I don't give accounting advice, legal advice, whatever. So
yeah.
All right.
To follow back up, Beth had a quick question, then we'll head on to the next question. She was wanting to know, could you restate who was going to be?
NPS is a property management company. The streamlined deal is not in place yet. It ain't in place yet. Okay? If you have a property that you want managed, National Property Solutions will take the rental management from you. And their information is on the website, membership site.
Clear enough.
We are working on a all-inclusive deal to streamline the 50-50 model, which would be involved with NAA and National Property Solutions and some really cool stuff like that. Okay?
All right.
All right.
Laurel, you're up next. Well, if your mic may be muted, or if you don't have a mic, just type into the board there, and or maybe you can call in.
Let's look at the title search on Laurel's deal.
Okay. It's got a note, not responding tab, so give me a second while I catch up.
Okay, so let me start with the story. Laurel is looking at a non-performing land contract, okay? So it is a land contract, which is a method of seller financing, but this is one of these assets that we've bought in a non-performing state, okay? So everybody, just to reiterate real quick, when you buy a land contract, the seller of the owner finance transaction still has title to the property. And you transfer that title to whoever's buying it. The buyer is not entitled yet. Okay? The buyer only comes entitled when you deed it to them after they successfully paid their seller finance transaction. Okay? When you order a title search, it is an industry standard that they do a name search on the buyer named in the transaction. So ProTitle, in this scenario, ran a name search on the buyers, which were Luella Hawkins and John Hawkins. Okay? And they discovered that they have a state of Ohio Department of Taxation lien against Luella, and the city mortgage has a judgment against John, and the treasurer of Stark County has a foreclosure filed. I'm not sure what they have to do with anything on this, because I don't see a similar name, but maybe I'm misreading it. Okay?
Oh, okay.
So, Laurel, are you there?
I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. How are you?
Okay, hi. The last one, just to clarify, apparently the Stark County actually did a tax sale on the property. That's what that third one is.
Uh-huh.
But it was never sold. We talked to the county about this.
Okay. All right, so the guy that owns Pro Title, Alex, is not in town till later this week, okay? So I'm going to say to you that most of their title searches, when they run a title search on a land contract, most of their title searches are going to tell you any judgments or tax liens filed against the borrower in that section. Okay? Now, Laurel, am I being abundantly clear with you that I'm not an attorney?
Yeah.
And so I'm not an attorney, I'm not a licensed abstractor, but I talked to Susan today. So between Susan, myself, and Charles, and we got an office full of people that have had a lot of experience with this. So we're not attorneys, but we just have some good life experience. I have never seen a lien against a borrower who's not entitled yet affect my ability to complete either a foreclosure or a termination of a land contract.
You
file a lien against somebody against something they don't own yet.
Well, we're thinking that these are just judgments against the people that because these happened before the land contract was actually even signed.
It doesn't make any difference. They did a name search, okay?
Right.
Common practice in a title search that you take who's ever vested in title and they run a name search against them, and you are seeing a result of a name search.
Right.
Okay? I believe that when you get down to the drill down of this, that the legal conclusion is going to be that this is noise.
Right. That's what I was thinking, that it doesn't have anything to do with the property itself.
Right. And you're clear as to why, right?
Right.
Because Luella and John do not have title to the property.
Right.
Okay? I'm gonna bring this to Alex's attention this week. There is some chance in the future that they may position these a little differently on their title searches. It doesn't bother us because we understand what the how it really works. Now, if this were a note in a mortgage, this would not be the same answer. Are you clear about that?
Exactly, yeah.
So this is one of the advantages of a land contract. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have some more questions on this, or am I cleaning up everything you had?
Yeah, well, we had one question, because this is a land contract, and we're actually going to be getting, of course, the title and that we're buying the note. So do we need to get title insurance on it?
Well, years and years ago, when we used to buy land contracts and sell them to institutional investors, like associates, where Bob used to be, okay, mm-hmm. we would get an owner's title policy. You can legally do that, okay? What are you paying for this asset?
$7,700.
I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I mean, we buy them every day with a title search, and that's what we do, and that's how, I mean, it's a perceived risk. If you're writing a check for $60,000, even if it's a defaulted land contract, I can understand why you might want a title policy.
Yeah.
But for $7,700, it's not what we would do. And I can tell you this with integrity, if I bought it myself direct retirement account, I wouldn't do it in there either.
Okay.
So there is a degree of risk with that, but we think it's very, very, it's just industry standard, that's very low.
Okay. And this was originally a foreclosure, and the chain of title is very clear, so.
I totally understand. Yep.
But it's our first one, so we just want to make sure that we're doing everything right.
Well, the best I can do is tell you what we do as a practice, right? I can't say whether it's right or wrong because there's always some element of risk, right? I mean, there's an element of risk that I'm not going to make it home tonight. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, there's an element of risk to any investment. So when I speak into you this terms or anytime I'm speaking to you guys, there are certain things that you heard us say, like, really strongly, we would not do that, right? That's because we found over life experiences there's a high element of risk in doing a certain thing, right? Like, if I were Mahmood, I would not try to go figure out how to file the deed without hiring the attorney to go help me, or hiring NAA, who already has a lot of communication with the attorney, and they're not going to try to charge much of an override to fool with it, right? I know Mahmood's smart, and he could go on their website and see exactly what it is. But it's very different than the attorney walking in there that, you know, that buys them, gets them a nice Christmas card every year to go deal with them versus Mahmood. So there's nothing that you're doing in my mind that if I were buying this asset today, I would disregard the judgments listed on the title search, because once again, the people that have judgments against them aren't entitled. And for $7,700 with a good title search, I would not fool with getting a title policy. If it were $107,000, I probably would.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Thanks. We're really excited.
I know. It looks like you're gonna make a good
try. Finally got one.
Good for you.
Yep.
Okay. So Matt, I know we got some questions here we need to clean up. Let's see. Bill's question is, how did they do a name search if the contract isn't recorded? That's because they ask for the borrower's name in the form that we fill out. Don't you do that, Matt?
I used to. Now I've kind of moved to the after the sole part. Nathan Chung does that now, actually.
But you, like, used to do hundreds of them and yep. always put the – yeah. So,
yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, and then Chris is asking, can the county sell the property to a tax sale on a land contract? Yes, sir. They darn sure can. Land contract or note and mortgage, basically the taxing authority is a superior lien position. They have the authority to go sell it out from underneath you if you don't pay the taxes. Good question. Does the county own the property since it went to tax sale in 2014? And the answer is, she says that they offered it for sale, but it didn't sell. Charles, are you still with us? Yeah, I think he had to tap out. So, you know, just because they throw it up for sale doesn't mean somebody bought the tax lien. And she says she's already confirmed with the county that that's true. I would double check that. Calling the county is kind of like calling the IRS. They're not responsible for their bad information.
All right. Read it up.
It is absolutely possible that they have a tax sale and it doesn't sell. Matt, do you know in the auction world when a seller puts up something to be auctioned and they choose to not let it sell through the auction, do you know what that's called?
I don't.
That is called a PO, pass out.
That's a technical term?
I grew up in the cattle auction barn and horse sale business. I guarantee you if I told old Paula Dwyer I was going to PO him, he'd know what I meant.
So this one was just PO'd.
There you go. Just a little piece of information right there.
I'm going to put that in the tag so that you can come back and...
information.
If you're ever on a game show.
Yeah, I'd be terrible at that. All right, Matthew, let's move on here, brother.
All right, let me see. Dina is... Dina?
Hey there.
Hey, Eddie.
How you doing?
Great. How are you?
All good. So tell me your story.
Well, we bought this, bought the non-performing. We foreclosed on it. We've tried selling it, you know, several different ways. We had it with what do you call those guys?
NAA?
No, with a bird dog type guy.
Oh, wholesaler.
A wholesaler in Memphis. He couldn't go through with the deals, and so he gave us names of people that were interested in it. So we started contacting those guys, and there was one who offered us cash money because this was a property we just didn't want to rehab. We'd already rehabbed two in this year, so we were just like, just sell it and let's get out of it. And so we got in touch with this man, agreed on a price, and we made the mistake of asking. This is an older man who...
He wants to buy it for his son. He said his son puts his head...
Wherever he can.
Yeah, wherever he can. So he spends time between the father's house and the aunt's house.
Okay.
So the father wanted to buy this property, rehab it for the son, and let the son move into it. Because it's only about a mile from the father's house. So he offered us cash. I sent him a purchase and sale agreement for him to review. Of course, I took a Memphis purchase and sell, I mean, not, a Tennessee purchase and sale agreement and kind of hacked away at it because it's an as-is property. And I wasn't going to lay claims that I knew everything about it. I mean, I know some things about it. We've had some pictures, but, you know, this guy's been over there. He's looked at it. He should know the condition of it.
Okay.
And then what I told him was we foreclosed on it. We owned the note. We foreclosed on it. We have the trustee's deed. If he agrees to the terms of the purchase and sale agreement, then we'll quit claim it to him once he provides the funds to us. So the quit claim was the way we were going. And suddenly today I had an armchair real estate agent, lawyer type person tell me I couldn't do that in Tennessee. That was borderline illegal. I better seek legal advice, blah, blah, blah. So that's where I am.
Tell him to go back to his TV show.
That's kind of what we figured. We're kind of like, well, wait a minute. This wasn't your business, and so, you know, but we just wanted to make sure.
First of all, let me just tell you this. When you're dealing in low price band real estate, conveying it with a quick claim deed is an industry standard.
Okay.
That's what we figured.
Doesn't know what are industry standards. If you call anybody at NAA or Cade Thompson that runs Halo or Bob Repass or Charles Mang and any guys that have signed more than 10,000 deeds, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
All of them say, of course you would sell them a quick claim deed.
Okay.
A quick claim deed is a deed without warranty.
Right.
Okay. So you are quitting any claim to it, but you're not warranting any back issue of title. Okay.
Nope.
And your buyer would have no knowledge or any reason to go, you know, fuss about this. You're not cheating him. It is an industry standard. If I were buying an asset from Cade Thompson, he'd try to convey it to me on a quick claim deed.
Okay.
All right. So I'm just saying there's nothing you're doing that's out of the ordinary or whatever. So your guy that's sitting around there saying that is, this isn't his space.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
Is your buyer good to go?
You know, he still didn't have the purchase and sell agreement as of Saturday, so I haven't heard from him today. He says he's good to go. He has the cash ready. So I'm just
waiting.
Sir?
How you going to get the money?
Well, I told him he had to mail it to me either cashier's check or money order, that if he sent it personal check, I told him I would not give him the quick claim deed until any money clears the bank, period. So.
Yeah, I would have him either wire the money to me or send me a cashier's check. I wouldn't even walk down the road of a personal check.
No, I really told him I wasn't interested in a personal check. So
you're going to get the money, right? You're going to get the money before you send him the deed.
Right.
Right.
All right, let me ask you a question. Why are you using a mobile notary?
I contacted a mobile notary today, and he said that I didn't need him because the quick claim deed was certified on my end.
Yes.
So we figured that one. We figured that part out. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, your other person advising you is not advice that I would take or accept. That's all I can say. They may be an attorney. They may be this. They may be whatever.
They are an ex real estate agent.
But you know, sometimes people can say things that just kind of freaks you out a little bit.
Don't get me started on why.
Yeah.
Listen, you guys know a high percent of our mentor students are realtors. I'm not saying they don't have competency in what they do. This is outside of the realm of what they normally do unless you happen to have an REO agent. Trust me, we got tons of mentor students that are REO agents, and they know exactly how this works and what's industry standard. But unless you deal in our specialty space, it's not. It wouldn't be something that people would have commonly dealt with. There's nothing almost illegal about a quick claim deed. That is completely an inaccurate statement.
That's what we, you know, we knew and we kind of figured, but we just wanted to double check before we went through with this. So.
You know, and I was telling this lady too, you know, because she tried to relay to me what her experience as a real estate agent had been, and I said, yes, ma'am, that is very true. This does not fall into that type of scenario. It's not what you would expect to be your normal closing of a house. So it's not the same.
So we have a student that's had Tennessee assets, Beth Hale, she's had some kind of a disclosure agreement that she's had an attorney do in Tennessee. It sounds like it's good advice to get him to sign that, and I'd probably do it.
Disclosure agreement?
Yeah. Now, once again, if you haven't signed a quick claim deed, you ain't warranting anything, but there's nothing wrong with making the old guy sign a disclosure agreement. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
So that's good advice. And she's going to forward it to you. She's very kind to participate with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
Yeah, perfect. Great help, guys.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thanks, Eddie.
All right. Okay, Mr. Matt, what's up?
All right. We are, I believe, getting to, I think, our last question. So let me see if
Bill. Kathy had a good question.
Oh.
Kathy Watson asked, so if the property didn't sell in the tax sale, the tax is still owed? And the answer is yes, 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 Kathy, you are exactly correct. Taxes ain't paid, they're owed. So you would have to pay the taxes before you have free and clear asset. All right, Matt, what's this next one here?
All right. Bill, are you able
some
to?
Some of them are dying, and in fact, I just had one fall last month.
I think he's on a call with somebody else because he's talking about dead trees or something. I don't know.
Bill, are you with us?
Bill?
Dead trees down.
All right. Well.
I guess I called it then, at least. He's on the web, so I don't know if that means that he may not be able to hear us, or he has us muted because he got a call coming in or something like that. But I'll,
All right.
Let me try one more time.
You think I should just go ahead?
Nope. I'm gonna send him a message.
Okay, cool. All right. Is this going to be the last question we got, Matt?
I do believe so. Let me just scroll real quick. It is, yes. So,
all right. So get me to some of these other things. I'll talk about that, and we'll see if we happen to get Bill on right on the backside.
All right.
Okay. I have several different little messages, okay? First one is, if you are a titanium student, then we have a significant titanium mastermind coming up. You're going to arrive for a social evening on April the 14th. The titanium two-day drill down is going to be the 15th and 16th, and we're going to have a cookout on one night, and the other night we're going to go to a Rangers game. That would be the Texas Rangers. It's a baseball team. Haha. Just saying. And, all right, so that's the Titanium Mastermind. Matt, we did a couple of we taped a couple of webinars last week. You got that?
I am pulling that up right now.
So we put that up. We did two webinars. These are non-mentor events, although we typically start out and invite mentor students that want to come. So there's two of them. One is on the hog hunt, and the proceeds go to the Child Welfare Board, and you can click on there, and it's a taped webinar. It's about 30 minutes, and it's going to talk about what we're going to do at the hog hunt and what you can expect and all that kind of stuff. So if you are interested in coming to the hog hunt, and let me just tell you something. This is really nice. I mean, the food and the hospitality, it's more than just a hunt. You can bring a guest, and there's a modest fee if you bring a guest that doesn't hunt. So if you like this, and nobody's ever been that wouldn't say it wasn't crazy fun, good deal, And so if that's of interest to you, then you can click on there and learn about how to do it. The hog hunt is right at the end of March. Am I saying that right, Matt? The weekend at the end of March, 1st of April.
31st to 2nd.
Okay. The second thing is Martha started a ladies mastermind. Okay? This is a non-mentor event, and it's also held up at what you refer her to as the ranch or the Note Recovery Center, but this isn't like, there ain't no hog hunting in this deal, okay? So there will be a time to get out and ride around and have, you know, see the countryside a little bit if you like to do that. So they'll have some outdoor activities, but this is not hunting, and this is a ladies-only deal. They won't let you and I come, Matt.
I know. I tried to let her talk her into it, but she wouldn't. She said no.
So it's same thing. It's food. It's a ladies-only deal. Martha did this last fall. They just loved it. And so it's a limited deal, and it's outside the mentor program. But if you're interested, you can click on the membership site and watch the webinar about how that works. Okay? So that's just a couple of things that are just kind of newsworthy items that are outside, and there's some webinars that have been taped so you can watch it and see if that's what something you want to do. Summer Summit, this is a mentor event. Okay? Matt, the dates are wrong, brother. So Summer Summit starts on the special class is on June the 2nd, not June the 9th. I know we changed it on you.
Right, June.
Summer Summit, which is only mentor students, Summer Summit is on June the 3rd and the 4th. Okay? It is in Dallas at the American Airlines Center Training Center. It's where they train airline stewardesses and pilots how to go do whatever it is they do. It's going to be a very good event. We're going to have some other things tied to it that are in addition to it. So we are going to have another fundraiser for the Child Welfare Board on a class on June the 2nd. That's on a Thursday. Summer Summit for mentor students starts on Friday. The guy that's teaching this class is named Dykes Botterford. And you can ask Jeff Watson, you can ask a whole laundry list of people, David Phelps, Walter Wolford, Quincy Long, you can ask some people that advise you a lot about things. They're going to tell you that this guy is one of the best teachers that's ever taught them the business. So I know Dykes from the past. He has been a good friend to us. He is going to do a great class, Matt. This class is entity creation for minimizing taxes and maximizing asset exposure. And this guy is really good at it, and this is a very, very popular subject. So Dykes Botterford will do a class. It's $250 for the primary and $200 for a guest. Now, Matt, you're going to go to class all day, 9 to 3. In addition to coming to the class, you are going to be entitled to a bus ride to the Stockyards in Fort Worth and a catered barbecue dinner. So the Child Welfare Board is paying for that. So, it's more than just a class. It is a happening. That's Summer Summit. Those of you that wrote the date down a week or so ago, we had to change it because the event planner person for the American Airlines Center goofed. I don't know what else to say. So it is going to, the Summer Summit is going to be June 3rd and 4th. That's a Friday and a Saturday. Dykes is going to teach his class starting 9 a.m. on June the 2nd. And then we're going to take you to the Stockyard that night. If you bought a dinner with the Speeds at the Appreciation Charity Auction, that is going to be Saturday night. Okay? So, we're going to get you from the American Airlines training facility to our house, and we're going to have a great dinner on Saturday night. Okay? And we got some other kind of evening stuff. I think we're going to have a titanium evening event on Friday night. So we got a lot of activities here. Okay? So put that on your calendar. Summer Summit is the one of the two mentor-only events every year that we do a lot of preparation for. Everybody that come year after year, it's we've made it better and better. And if you came to Las Vegas with us last year, I think you saw that we really were listening to what we could do to help you with some things. And we're going to continue to do that as we do one Summer Summit here in Texas this year. Okay? We have a lot of people that say, hey, I would like to donate some money to the Child Welfare Board charity, but I can't do thousands of dollars. And we said, we get that. And so we wanted to do something that was a very, very good value, which was a Dykes Botterford class, and then load up in the bus and go to the Stockyards, and you get a meal. And so $250 there. That's just if you want to do it, but we'll have a lot of people that will. And I think it'll be well worth it. Mr. Matt, we tried Bill here. We got him going with us.
Let's try him one more time.
The hotel for Summer Summit will be at
I'm here.
All right, Bill, 1 second. I'm gonna finish up my deal here, and then we'll bring you in. Okay, bud?
Okay.
Summer Summit will be, you'll get your hotel room. It will be at the American Airlines Training Center. So they're nice. It's not like staying at the, you know, Riviera, but it's nice. We've had classes there. In fact, we're going to have the titanium event there. There's some really good things about it to kind of keep people gathered up, and it's not expensive. So we will have registration for Summer Summit and the Titanium that you'll be receiving emails, and you can click on there. We have a landing page where you can register, and it'll tell you how to get your hotel reservation and all that. Okay? Good question, Stephen. Mr. Bill, what's up, brother?
Hi. Just a little bit confused. I keep thinking I understand this, and then when I start thinking about it, my memory's bad, or it doesn't make sense. And I'm hoping you guys can clear this up for me.
Okay.
See, I have this house that I was looking at, or this note that I was looking at up, you know, it's actually in Memphis, whatever. But it's a non-performing note, and it's, you know, one of these things you don't necessarily know if it's vacant or not. And so I was thinking of having somebody just knock on the door and see who lives there. And but then I remembered that there was, you know, that was considered, you can't do that for some reason. I know you can't do the demanding of payments on a debt because there's licensing requirements, and that's a state law type thing. But is this business about not contacting the residents of the house, is that also a law, or is that to accomplish some other purpose?
Well, there are potential laws that could be violated, and basically the industry standard is any sophisticated seller that offers you notes to look at is going to require that you sign a non-disclosure agreement, an NDA.
Mm-hmm.
Very clearly in that NDA, the most important part of that NDA says that you or no representative of you will make any form of attempt to contact the borrower.
Okay. So
So if Bob Repass was looking at a tape from Rock Top or Halo or Stonecrest or any of the guys that you see, and we went out there and knocked on the door of the borrower, they would blackball us and we would never buy assets from them again.
I see.
That's the industry standard.
Okay. And the reason is that more the non-compete type issues?
When you're selling loans, if everybody's out there knocking on the guy's door, then somebody, now they don't want to buy it, and the guy gets his door knocked on about 6 times in 2 weeks, what do you think would happen?
I see. Actually, I was thinking, though, it could be done slightly differently in that.
It ain't going to happen.
Okay.
Okay, I'm telling you right now, if you want to get blackballed, that's what you go do. I've had students that have made the mistake and thought they were going to like get clever with it. I'm just telling you right now, that is the one thing that will absolutely get you blackballed from an asset seller.
Okay.
So I'm being strong with you there because I know I've heard some other creative things in the past. There ain't no creativity to it. It's like you cannot go knock on that door.
All right.
Okay. And I know it's one of the nuances in our business, and we get that. The servicers would freak out if you had somebody looking at assets and knocking on the door. They would freak out. I'm sure CFPB would think that's a problem.
Okay.
Elizabeth Warren. You know about Elizabeth Warren, right?
Me? No.
Oh, she's got a bunch of shit on the internet about, you know, her, you know, these people selling non-forming notes and, you know, she's whatever.
Ah, I see.
We've got to protect our industry here and we've got to have anonymity from people looking at assets and not having any interface with a potential borrower.
I see.
Or occupant.
So only the person who actually has the note is allowed to do that. Is that what it amounts to? In other words, if you own the note, you can go and talk to them as long as you're not violating the law. But people who...
Yeah, and we even take it a step further, Bill. We will not sell you a loan unless you're boarding it with a licensed servicer.
That's good.
I mean, our attorney just tells us we're in any court in the land, we're going to be perceived as a sophisticated seller, and we understand what the law is, and if we, you know, are selling loans to people that aren't licensed, then we can presume they may not be following the law.
Ah. So you don't even think it's a good idea to service them yourself, which is a conclusion I've already come to for other reasons, but it's not from the legal standpoint, it's not a good idea.
You're going to sell an asset if you're going to service them yourself.
Okay.
And that is, as far as I know, like other guys that we know and respect in the business today, I think everybody's taking that position.
Okay.
So... it's a very fair question, great question, really, and I know that if you've not been involved in our business, it's there may be other things, but it's just this is the industry standard, and it's been that way in the note space for a long time. You cannot go back, knock on the door. That was true when I was buying RTC assets in 1986. That's the first entity that I remember really coming out with NDAs. All right. Great question. Matt, we got everything covered here?
I think we are all caught up and pretty much on time. So.
Lisa's bragging on Dykes Botiford. Dykes is a sharp dude. You guys will love that training. It'll be well worth your $250 investment. Barbecue and bus ride free. So, all right. Great day. Everybody did. Everybody, a lot of interaction here. Everybody was very timely and helpful. Appreciate it. You guys talk to you soon.
See you later.